Moving ahead, restructuring. Now, this is another important aspect as a reason for outsourcing, right? What does restructuring mean, right? So, restructuring, you can restructure either the financial aspect or even the organization structure. So, what happens under finances? You have a capital expenditure and an operational expenditure, largely speaking. I can restructure my capital expenditure, if you touch upon the earlier space management, in terms of buying a particular infra for seating or IT laptop, into a operational expenditure, which is where I am paying per person service fee instead of amount to procure, right? So I can restructure my finance. Org structure, again, here also I can restructure my organization to keep myself focused on the core aspects, right? And then I just keep a block in terms of an outsource block which handles say ABC process or functions, right? The next one is scalability. Now, scalability is a very important aspect in business, right? You have ramp up and ramp down during business periods and off peaks. Like, for example, here you will have, let's take an example of e-commerce business. It is the most easiest and simple example. You have a huge peak during, say, festival seasons, right, where the procurement is high. For example, in this is very predominant in India or even other Asian countries. Say, for example, during festivals like Ganpati, right, people would want to go out and buy decorative items, right? So if I am buying this, right, this particular, I would say, a light lamp, okay, a simple example. If I am selling this like kind of 100 pieces in a day, during the festive peaks, it will touch upon thousands or multiple, even lakh, right, for that particular, I would say, small period of time. So scaling from 100 to 1000 is not easy, right? And even if I am able to scale post that particular end of festive season, I would be again down to my regular sale of 100. Now, what do I do with the resources that I have ramped up? I can't be just getting in people, training them, and then asking them to go, right? So scalability is very important for a business, because end of the day it has to sell, and managing this becomes easier for a service provider who is into that business. For him, he is not catering to one customer, right? He has multiple, I would say, customers, and he can do a better management of the resource in terms of moving them internally rather than causing a hiring, I would say, induction, and then I would say, retrenchment. So this scalability is gaining high in the current scenario, right, and is also a key reason to outsource. Risk management, right? So risk is critical. I would say any business has risk, right? And the kind of risks that are associated would be in either of these functions. It can be in the process, it can be in the risk, it can be on the resource, quality, turnaround time. Now, you have, I would say, here we have written down just six. You have all these risks which you need to manage, mitigate as a business, right? I can look at mitigating some of this risk with a vendor, right? If I talk of the earlier example of resources, right? I can mitigate that risk of scaling up, scaling down by engaging the vendor. It becomes a vendor headache, right? He needs to ensure that deliverable is met at a higher and lower volume. I don't have to bear that risk of inducting additional resources or doing away with them after the work is done. Even going to turnaround time, right? There is a certain TAT for each, I would say, a particular deliverable. And there is a risk in the, for example, let us talk about the printing example. I can't be printing at a, I would say, if there is a lack of coordination between IT and the print staff. The papers need to be printed at a particular time and put out into, I would say, circulation. You can't have a delay there. Then that news doesn't make sense, or the papers won't sell, right? Tats are important to manage, and there is a risk associated. It's like if I am, say, managing the printing part of it, I have a resource, you know, three different guys who are handling three different functions of the paper printing. One is handling the raw paper, other is the printing, third is looking up in terms of the interaction with the circulation team. Assume one guy is sick or is not available. What do? Right? We can't be breaking off the chain of circulation for that particular day, right? There has to be a backup plan in place, which is in terms of how I mitigate that turnaround time. But if I have a vendor available there, I know he has multiple such operators which he is doing for different kinds of businesses, and that I would find out in the assessment. Then this risk of turnaround time is low, right? For sure it is there, it is linked to the competent service provider, but it's not that high as it would be to me as if I had a direct resource, right? So the risk management is another key aspect in terms of being a reason for outsourcing. Now let us look at the models, right? Outsourcing, there are different models, and primarily these are categorized under these four broader headings. So you have process specific outsourcing. This is largely specific to a particular process. Then you have professional services outsourcing, where you are engaging competent vendors for their professional services. These services can be into IT, legal, anything. And then you have one particular area which is into manufacturing outsourcing also. This is a manufacturing is a big industry, right? And there to cater to that particular I would say aspect, you have a larger deliverable there. If you take an example of the automobile industry, right? You would have so many components in that automobile, and it's not possible for that company to manufacture everything in-house, right? So they may be outsourcing a particular component, say a filter which is required in a car, outsource manufacturing of that to a competent vendor and just take the deliverable there. Lastly, it is operational outsourcing, where you outsource the operational aspects. Touching upon each one of them in a little more detail, the first one, process specific outsourcing, right? You outsource a particular process, right? A particular process of your business, and you look at aspects of how that process will be delivered, at what cost, and in what timeline, because these become important to you, right? So here we are talking about a particular process, and which touches upon how the end deliverable will be met in terms of cost and timelines, correct? Professional services, as we mentioned, this is purely professional services that we want from the service provider. And as I mentioned, this can be in finance, legal, information technology, right? Manufacturing, we touched upon the example of automobile, even electronics, for example, a television industry, right? It has so many components. I don't need to manufacture everything in-house. I can ask for certain components, just assemble that with my other components and go ahead, right? Last, the operational outsourcing, entire, I would say, aspect of outsourcing in terms of operations. For example, same motor industry, right? I may be selling that vehicle under an A brand and may outsource the entire repairs to a chain of to a service provider who has a chain of repair centers available. So I would advise all my customers for repairs to that particular address. While I have engaged them, I am not carrying out that repair or maintenance in my facility. And I've engaged a vendor, right? So this works well in terms of the production setups, right? Let's come to advantages and disadvantages of outsourcing. So let us touch upon quickly the benefits that are there in outsourcing. So as you can see, again, there may be more benefits than what we have put down here. But we have covered some of them, and let us touch upon each one of them very briefly. First advantage, as I said, cost reduction, right? You definitely would have that at the back of the mind in terms of whether I would make a difference to the cost. If there is no difference in cost, then it doesn't make sense in outsourcing. So what you look at is sourcing those particular services from a competent person at a good price. Now the question would be, why is a service provider able to offer the same service at a lower price? Right, you are handling the service, he is handling, why is he able to offer? And which is where you need to understand that the service provider is skilled or has a niche in that particular area, and he is serving multiple customers in that particular field. So he largely has the benefit of sharing resources, right? Classic example, IT service. So if I have, say, 4 or 5 different domains, a database administrator, network guy, storage guy, backup guy, Wintel guy, right? I have 5-6 different guys who are spending probably, they are my resources, so I have engaged them for the month because I don't know when I will need their support, right? But the utilization is pretty low. You may not have network outages all the time. Right, you may not have a database crash all the time. So for me, while he is my resource, I don't have 100% utilization from him, right? But for the vendor, he has say 3 network guys who are serving 30 customers. So the ratio remains the same in terms of not having outages at all points in time, but he's better able to share this, and which is where it hits the cost, right? And for me as an organization, as I mentioned in the infrastructure space management example, I can turn the capital expenditure into an operational expenditure. Instead of buying a laptop, I am paying for a service for that particular guy, and where that guy, his laptop is brought by the service provider, right? So for me, the outgo changes from capex to opex, and this makes a big difference in the financial sheets, right? That's benefit number one. Benefit number two is focusing on core business, right? As I mentioned, for the medical field example, I don't need to break my head on IT development, right? And IT operations, correct? So I would outsource that particular piece and increase focus of my and my team on the new developments, innovation in medicine, right? So this becomes another key benefit, right? You can divert the attention and efforts on core activities of your business, right? Third is increasing efficiency, right? Outsourcing can help increase the productivity, right? The skilled vendor will have a larger domain expertise and availability, right, to do execute that job, which is where efficiency gets built in, correct? Next is increased reach, right? I have a higher reachability now, right? If I engage with a competent service provider who is taking care of a particular, I would say, function, my focus on core business is high. And I'm now working locally and globally to expand my business. I can focus on market expansion, which in turn helps business. I can go to untapped markets, right? Because now my focus has increased on the actual line of business that I am in, right? So this is another benefit. Moving ahead, again, as you can see, these become interlinked, these factors. The customer focus, right? I am no longer worried about the particular nitty-gritties or management of that particular aspect of process which I have outsourced. My focus is more on my core business, market expansion, and now I am reaching out to my customers also in terms of trying to see where I can build a larger customer base and also keep my customers satisfied, right? Remember that the happy customers will always be give repeat business, correct? Skills and expertise, this is another benefit, right? As I mentioned earlier, you have technology is growing at a fast pace in all areas and all lines of businesses. So new skills are coming up, and for an organization, if I have to handle that, I will have to upskill my guys, right? I will have to train them, I will have to retain them, right? Again, that's the other challenge, right? Becomes easier to get the skills and expertise, give that headache to a third person, right? Especially in processes or fields where it doesn't form a core area of my business, correct? Simple, again, the medical example, and IT, right? IT has caught up. Today you have cloud computing happening. For me, it is important to keep my focus on medicine rather than trying to manage a team, build expertise in cloud and assessing, evaluating and retaining them, right? Again, even if I upskill them, because I don't have that much of work, I will be at a, I would say, loss of keeping them engaged in the new skill. So this becomes important in terms of getting a faster availability of skill and domain, right? Next is capacity, of course, and as we mentioned earlier, scaling up, scaling down becomes easier, right? Because the vendor is using a shared model, right? So scaling up and scaling down capacity becomes easier. This point can easily be assessed when we are doing the vendor assessment. The other benefit is in terms of risk handling. Now, what happens is, as we mentioned earlier, we can distribute those risks, right, in terms of having a service provider who can better handle some portion of those risks. So risk handling becomes easier and again beneficial. Lastly, coming down to scalability, and as we mentioned, right, the vendor who is into that particular line of business can easily scale up and scale down and help us with meeting the business demands, right? So these were some of the advantages. Now let's look at the disadvantages as well. So for every pro, there is a con, right? It's not just the advantages that are there in the industry, right? Let us look at dependency, right? So what is dependency? What is happening is when I am outsourcing a particular process, I am handling over the process to the service provider, and in fact, I am giving him the control because that is required for running the process. He won't be able to run the process without having control over it. So what is happening is now I am dependent on the vendor. Now these particular disadvantages can be mitigated to a certain extent, but let us for now just understand the disadvantages, right? We will discuss about this in the later aspects of the course. After dependency, there's lots of control, right? So what has happened after the engagement? Now I'm dependent on him. I have given him control, right, to run the process because he needs to run it. So I have what has happened? I have even lost control. Now I have more and more dependency in terms of control on the process. I can't be controlling the process, right? The vendor needs to control it because it is his end deliverable. So what has happened is, I have become dependent on him, I have lost control. Let us look at the disadvantage of risk as well. While risk sharing of risk was an advantage, right, there is also a risk of sharing data with him which is intellectual property to the organization. Data that is confidential, right? You have issues of data security. So risk also becomes a disadvantage to the outsourcing, right? Moving ahead, you have the hidden cost. When you are assessing engaging a vendor, the vendor definitely has a, I would say, a good idea of how the process is run, right? For saleability or for engagement, he may be aggressive in terms of giving you a cost model, right? But if he has not understood clearly or missed any process, he may come out with a change request which is chargeable, right? If he has missed some key component and I would say it doesn't help excluding that component for the end deliverable, you for sure will need to engage him to do that, right? Now that particular can come as a chargeable change request, right? So there may be some hidden cost, but again, these need to be taken care of during the engagement. Privacy threats, that's another disadvantage, right? You are essentially sharing confidential data with the vendor. There's no way you can't share because he needs to run that process. That now increases, I would say, a threat to the privacy, right? So this is another key, I would say, disadvantage, especially in recent times. The other disadvantage is knowledge depletion, right? What is happening is you are giving control of the process to the vendor. You will essentially transition knowledge, right? This knowledge, once it's gone to the vendor, you may not be retaining it for a longer period of time, right? For example, you had 10 people doing it. You have retained to engage a service provider. Your knowledge base number has reduced. Retaining these two over a period of time will also be challenging in terms of growth for them, because now the process is no longer with you. And if you have attrition and are 100% dependent, you end of the day don't have any more association with that process, and hence you've lost the entire knowledge also, right? So this is another key disadvantage. Coordination challenges. This is very, I would say, a common disadvantage. You generally don't near source. You generally outsource to a different, I would say, geography to take advantage of the cost and other elements, right? For example, a firm in the United States, it outsources to a firm in Philippines or India or Asia, anywhere. You have a cultural difference, right? That becomes a challenge, right? Because US works differently in terms of hierarchy, speech, even the language issues, right? The counterpart will need to adapt to that, right? There is a variation in speed of how a person speaks. Because of speed, it's understandability. You have time zone differences, right? While some of these can be aspects of time zones can be taken as an advantage also, but largely all these aspects form under the coordination challenges, and which are sometimes a disadvantage to outsourcing, right? So if we have to summarize this chapter, we have touched upon the aspects of what outsourcing is. Outsourcing, this is a critical business component, and it can help give a jump start, especially to the smaller firm, right? And as we mentioned, it starts with strategy, right? It is a strategic decision, and it needs to be thought out carefully. The senior management needs to take, a discussed and deliberated decision, right? And move ahead with this before giving it to the middle management for transitioning into operations, right? So basically, this is how we summarize chapter 1, and we shall continue the next chapters going ahead. Thank you.